you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of Ephesians in chapter 5? Book of Ephesians chapter 5. What I'm going to be preaching about tonight will be the importance of living a Spirit-filled life and the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's why most Christians today have trouble, strive, worry, doubts, and fears, is because we live carnal. We don't walk in the Spirit. We're carnally minded, and right so, we have a lot of trinkets. We have a lot of things in the year of 2013 to take our mind off the Lord. And I was speaking with Brother Darren, our pastor, the other day, and I told him, I said, Darren, I don't know how you feel about it, but I said, I feel that the Christian that can stay close to God and walk in the Spirit in this time, in this days, in the evil days which we live, I said, I surely believe that there'll be a greater reward for those that can walk this day and time, because I heard an old-timer say one time, he said, you know one of the worst things ever happened to a Christian? I figured he would say television, which that is a bad thing. Really, it is, regardless of how you want to look at it. The old saying is, well, there's some good things, and they are, but I'm not going to dig through all the trash to get one good thing or two. But the thing is what he said was the most and the most biggest downfall to Christians was automobiles. He said when automobiles came, people hit the road. And they didn't make it back Sunday night. They didn't make it back Wednesday because they was loafing. And that is the truth. We loaf around a lot. We do a lot of things that if we took out all the things that was of nonsense and didn't mount to a hill of beans in heaven or with our walk with the Lord, we probably wouldn't be doing a whole lot. It'd be like taking out a lot of stuff out of a sermon sometimes. You just take it out and ain't nothing left. But there again, if you got your Bibles in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 18. It says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now as we see this, the verse 18 says, and be not drunk with wine. And if I ask anybody in here, do you think it's wrong to be drunk with wine or with beer or any kind of an intoxicating beverage? I would hope you would raise your hand or say, yes, I believe it would be wrong to be drunk. Now, some people will dispute with you if it's wrong to, they call, drink in moderation. Now, I believe we ought to abstain from all appearances of evil. And just like a friend, well, it wasn't a friend, but a neighbor of mine had several snakes at one time. He had a boa constrictor and a couple of other snakes. No poisonous snakes, but he had the snakes indeed. And he had them in an aquarium, but he had these snakes for over, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 10 years maybe. And then one day I found out that he had been getting that big boa constrictor out and was cleaning the cage, and it bit him right on the face. And it left all them big teeth. They're not poison, but it left all them teeth that are turned back, and they got barbs on them, and he had to go to the emergency room and have them removed. And so he did get by several years, but it bit him eventually. And I think that's what any kind of a drug or alcohol will eventually do to someone, is it'll bite you. It'll sting, stings like an adder. So as we see that, and this is a commandment, saying, and be not drunk with wine. So if we are in agreement that it's wrong and that it's a sin to be drunk with wine, then as we go on down in that scripture, it says, but be filled with the Spirit. So let me tell you this, and some may not say this is true or may not like it, but if being drunk therein is a commandment to not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, then not to be filled with the Spirit, we're in sin. That is plain as day right there in the scripture. You can like it or lump it. That's what it is. It's a sin when we're walking. In the Bible it says whatever is of flesh is of sin. It talks about what is not of faith is sin. And we know that when we're in the flesh, and Apostle Paul said, in me, he said, wherein was in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now, we got to realize that it's a spiritual battle. It's a battle between the flesh and the Spirit daily. And it says in here, and where it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's a commandment that God gave us. And there's only one way that you can be filled. You know, when we're saved, and I'm not a charismatic, and I don't think you got to be baptized into the Holy Spirit, or you get saved, and then later on, then you receive the Holy Spirit. Because when you're born again, you receive that Holy Spirit immediately comes in. Now, a Christian that's just been newly born again, he can be filled immediately. He can take off, or what you say, take off running. He can take right off with the Holy Spirit. I know many people that's been saved and been called to preach the same day. I know several men. I know J. Hal Smith. That's what he was. He was saved and walked straight over to his mom and dad's house and said he's going to be a Baptist preacher. He did. So you can be saved and take right off. And because you get all of it. Just like when I married my wife, I didn't get part of her when I married her and go back later to her dad and say, Ron, can I have the rest of her now? Because he was gladly to give me all of her at one time. So there again, when you get saved, you've got it in you. But the problem is we don't necessarily have to really get down and say, Lord, send the Holy Spirit to me. Now, that only happened on one occasion on the day of Pentecost before the Spirit had actually came in and the Comforter came. They prayed and it came down and the Holy Spirit came down. Now, the power of God, we pray for the power of God to move across our people and across our land. But we have the Holy Spirit living in every born-again believer. You will have the Holy Spirit in you. Now, everybody does have, they have them in their possession. They have him, and it is a him. It's not an it, it's a he. It's we got the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all God. It's the Spirit of God. It's him, and it's not an it. So there again, as we look, everybody that has it has him in their possession. But the problem where we meet and where we rise is we don't have him and let him possess us. We have him in our possession, but not possessing us and possessing us like a demonic power. You know, we hear all the time, well, I do. I hear about it a lot, about demon-possessed people and demon. And see, as Christians, we can't be demon-possessed because there's not enough room in someone that's been born again for God and Satan. There's not enough room in there. As God takes over, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. So there again, there's no room for Satan to come in. Now, Satan can oppress you. And that's the thing. He can't possess you. He can ride your shoulder and drag your coattail and drag you down, but he cannot possess you. And see, that's the problem. And in this real simple, quick message tonight, I'll try to be brief, knowing that we have the Awanas going on. But what I want to tell you is that you have it. If you're born again and saved, if you're not saved and you're here tonight, then you ought to be saved. You ought to get saved. Today's the day of salvation, and now's the accepted time. While the red blood is still flowing in your veins, and you're warm and you're not dead, now's the time to accept Jesus. But like I said, is that you have the Spirit of God, and you don't have to hear no Jimmy Swagger or nobody tell you that you must be baptized into the Holy Spirit, because it's all there. It's this however much you want. It says those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. But you've got to realize, what are you hungry for? If we have a revival meeting and everybody likes to get down in the altar and places and pray, oh God, send us a revival. Let the Holy Spirit just fill us up, fill us, and come move upon us. But if you really knew what you were praying for, the majority of you would stop praying and get out of Dodge. Because what you're praying for is, God, come in and remove all the junk of my life and come in and cleanse me from all my worldliness and ungodliness. But I'm afraid most people wouldn't want that. Just like the lady that I knew that prayed and told me to pray for her husband that he would get born again and saved. Oh, she went to church regular, and she wanted her husband, which was at that time a drunkard, and he was pretty mean to her at the time. And all she was wanting when she said that, she was just wanting a good husband not to hit her and not to drink. And that's understandable. But when we got to praying, and eventually this feller got saved, and he got saved, and he turned his life to God, and guess what happened? He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he walked in the Spirit. He was on fire for Jesus. And you know what that done to their relationship? It kind of dwindled a little. Now, not that he didn't love her, but the Scripture tells us that you must be willing to not forsake all to follow him. Now, we know that Peter had a wife because Jesus healed his mother-in-law. And I'll be dad blamed if I'm going to get a mother-in-law without getting a wife. I mean, so we know that so see, that forsaking all, it don't mean that you don't love them and still provide and come back, but there's things that change in your life when you filled with the Holy Spirit of God and you get on fire for Jesus, you start living that Spirit-filled life, the things that used to, that you love so dearly, will just be in your way. And see, you don't understand that as we walk in the flesh. All we see is what we want. And when we walk the way we want to walk. Just like in Judges, again, as it says, they all did what was right in their own eyes. We always do things right. We think, well, that's okay. But see, we've not consulted with the Holy Spirit most of the time. When we buy a car, buy a home, did a job, whatever it may be, a lot of times we get ourselves in a mess because we've not counseled and we've not talked and met and seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And that comes from not living a yielded life. That lives at, and that's just the same as we're flesh. We're living in the flesh. Now, the thing is this is in the flesh that, see, God, we're an enemy before we were saved because we were all flesh and no spirit at all. So there again, when we start living in the flesh, it says there, if you have fellowship with the world, you're an enemy with God. Now, people, a lot of times we get to thinking, what is the world? What, when it says to be not conformed? Well, all right, now the world has a lot of things to offer. And where it said, be not drunk with wine, which were in excess. If you're not careful, what happens when someone drinks wine and is drunk? They're under the influence. So you're under an influence of an intoxicating beverage. Now, if all you think about is possessions here on this side of eternity, then you're actually, you're influenced by the world's standards. Me and Rick just mentioned about a gentleman earlier. We talked about how sometimes these men that do drugs, they finally get greedier and greedier, and they slip and slide, and they get careless, and then they get caught. Because the love of money, it says, is the root of all evil. So there again, money, possessions, a good job, what we call, what is it, the American dream. The American dream is to have young'uns and have a pet, two or three cats and dogs, whatnot, and have a good job, a high pay, and a nice big yard with all kind of landscaping and all. That's the American dream, is what they call. So everybody's pushed to keep up with the Joneses, to keep up that way, to keep that standard of living, and it's like keeping up with Russell over there. So see, we try to keep up with the Joneses, and that's what happens is we get, instead of being drunk and being influenced by the Holy Spirit, we're influenced by the flesh on what we want and what we desire, and then we leave the Holy Spirit out of it. Now, it says in the book of James, it talks about that, about how that he lusts us to envy. Now, what it is, it's just like, and that's the part where it talks about committing spiritual adultery. And we're cheating on the Holy Spirit. He's inside us. He's wanting to possess us. He's wanting to have our lives. And see, he's wanting to be on the throne of our heart. But instead, we don't give him the throne. We want all the good things. We want salvation freely given. We don't want to work for all the others. As I said, as we pray for revival, when a true revival comes, not one on a board that says revival meeting, it's funny how we announce ours before they come. You know, here in America, we announce revival before it ever happens, and that's not in faith. It's just that's the way we do it. I would be good if it was in faith. We'd be praying in faith that he is going to send revival. But we announce it months and weeks ahead. And that's not... We've all got wrapped up. That is what we can call. I call it a revival campaign, a series of meetings, hoping that God does do something, of course. Maybe souls will get saved. But you know, as we think about revival, you know, what in the world would make a lost man go to church? That'd be about like me wanting to go to an AC/DC concert or something. For someone that don't know God, why in the world? So see, we're bad to sit back and say, well, we're having a revival and we hope that them lost people come. And they do wander in occasionally. We've got people sitting on the pews headed for hell, of course, every Sunday morning. We've got the tires right in amongst the wheat. But the thing is a real Holy Ghost wrought revival is going to change everybody in this place. It's going to change you in some form or fashion. And if you're really seeking for God, you must walk in the Spirit. And see, walking in the Spirit is not just so we can shout and hoop and holler. And you know I like to do that, so I'm not preaching at somebody. If anybody, I'm preaching at me. So to be filled with the Spirit don't just mean it's on an occasion where we run the pews, or we jump the pews, or we shout and run. That's a time of rejoicing in the Lord and being full of glory and, you know, and having a time. Because the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit is that you may walk in Jesus Christ, that you may walk in Christ every day. It ain't just for one occasion. Being filled with the Spirit, and we know there's fruits of the Spirit. And fruits of the Spirit's in Galatians 5 and 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and in 23, meekness and temperance. Now that's the fruits of the Spirit. I've been guilty, I'll tell you, to look at people and to judge them on their salvation based on their fruit. I have. I've been wrong in that. The Lord showed me I was wrong, and I just admitted I was wrong, because I've been bad to say, oh, you can judge a tree with the fruit it bears. Well, no. You know what that means? Now, there's carnal Christians. There's people that's been saved that don't even look like it unless you just come up to them and ask them. And that's up to them and God. But if they don't bear no fruit, all that's saying is, that's not saying that they're not a Christian or a saved individual. That's telling me right off the bat, they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. They're living carnal. They're living carnal. Because you can't just always judge a tree with the fruit it bears, because there's been times that we've had bad times. Look at Peter. What was we going to tell Peter when he denied the Lord and he cussed? Oh, I can tell by the fruit he bears, he's not going to heaven. See, he was going. Look what he was, one of the great disciples. And we know what happened with Lot. We know a lot that happened with Samson. We know all this stuff. All that was is they laid their guard down and they was walking carnal. They was in the flesh. And when we get in the flesh, it says that for without faith it's impossible to please him, which is God. It talks about him being a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. As I said, those that thirst and hunger after righteousness, they shall be filled. And we know that over in Romans 12 and 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Now, if we start wrapping all this stuff up about the Spirit and presenting our bodies and how that we're bought with a price, we're no longer our own, that we're owned by the Lord, and our body is a temple of God, and it is the temple of God. We're bad to say, come into the house of God, and that's fine, I understand. This is truly the house of God right here, the temple. This is where he lives at all times. This is a building. He's only in here when we're here. So see, this is not his dwelling place. His dwelling place is in us. And there again, you know, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And he knows all. He's a seeing all, knowing all God. And he knows everything. But there again, them fruit, just because you look at someone and says, oh, I just don't know, brother. They said a cuss word the other day, and they done it. And we're bad to judge. We are. We're bad. I've been bad, but God showed me some things clearly. And it's in the scripture plain. It's just like if you looked at the people that was the prophets and the preachers. I mean, look at Jonah. A lot of churches wouldn't have him if they had a board that looks for him, what they call the pulpit committee. If they was looking for Jonah, they'd say, oh, Lord, no, Lord, he backslid thing. He wouldn't mind God. We ain't getting him in here. And even Jesus, they'd say, they'd have something to say about Jesus. And Timothy, they'd say he was too young. They'd say all kinds. They'd say, Lord, no. They said, who was? They'd tell anything. You know, they'd say, we can't have Moses. Lord, no, he murdered somebody. So we got to realize what we're talking about when we start judging people and about whether the judge the tree with the fruit it bears, because they in that in the scripture, they had bad times. They wasn't bearing no fruit. And see, that's what living spirit-filled will produce fruit in your life. The fruit will be that when you're walking in the Spirit, and walking in the Spirit, it's not something that just comes upon you. It's something that you have to want and desire and earn, as you might say. You live that way. You walk in it daily. And as you start keeping the Lord's commandments and being obedient to the Word of God, and along with that obedience, presenting yourself a sacrifice, do you know a sacrifice will cost you something? It will cost. And that's like I said, a real spirit wrought revival will cost us something. It'll either cost you giving up some of your time. It may cost you giving money. It may cost you giving up some of your family time. It may cost you some of your hobby time. It may even cost you a job. It may even cost you a possession that you have in your hands to your name. It may cost you something. And see, that's the thing about it, is what did Jesus do? He gave up everything. He is our example. Now, I may look at Brother Darren and as a mentor to me, and he's a good example. And so, you know, but when I go to looking at the main example of who I'm supposed to be like, it's supposed to be like Jesus. Now, Jesus was our perfect example, the spotless, sinless Lamb of God. Now, you say, Brent, we'd never be that way. You're right, you never can. But there's a word, strive to be like Jesus. Strive to be like Christ. We must strive. And see, that's where the work comes in. Is striving to be like Christ is not for sissies and not for wimps. It's not. It's a hard thing to do. You got to be bold. You got to be able to take persecution and be slandered and be talked about and you'll be ridiculed. You're going to be accused, but it says to be found blameless. But you will be accused. But you can be found blameless because Jesus knows, you know, the Holy Spirit knows, and the truth will set you free. The truth will come out in the end. But see, to be not carnal-minded, we must, like it said here, is we must be thinking on the things of the Lord. As it said, singing spiritual hymns, a song. I said this the other night, and it comes to mind. You know, you can't be pulling up in the parking lot and listen to "I'm Lying Here with Linda on My Mind" and walk in here and think you're going to jump and swing from the chandeliers. I'm telling you, it won't work. It just don't work that way. It says to grieve not the Holy Spirit and to quench not. Now, when you start to grieving, have you ever, what you had grief in your life, been through grief and grief? Well, you know, it wasn't so fun grieving over something. Now, when we're doing that kind of stuff and walking in the world, but see, to us, it don't look that bad. It really don't. Country music, why, there ain't nothing wrong. Oh, bluegrass, no, now I'm not meaning bluegrass, I'm saying blue, just plain, it's of the world. And anything that's not of the Lord is of who? The devil. It's plain, it's blunt, it's the nose on my face. And if we won't admit it and just be get right with God, then we can start walking in that newness and walking in the Spirit. But if we want to say, oh, he's full of mud, and I ain't listening to him anyway, and I don't care, then you just have to traipse on off and live your way. And you won't have that peace and joy and all this stuff that comes along with the fruit. You probably won't be winning many souls to Christ in that way of life. See, that's another thing, being filled with the Spirit, is that's one of the things we get. It's a byproduct of being filled, is seeing souls saved. A Holy Ghost-filled service, people are convicted. And as a man talks, if a man's filled with the Spirit and been walking in the Lord and trying to live the best he could for the Lord's sake and walking close to him in that spiritual life, as he gets up and preaches, or whether he's just in a Walmart, one-on-one evangelizing, it'll be this man talking, but it'll be the inward man that you're full of that'll be a piercing that heart. And when you look at someone and say, sir, have you ever been saved? And they say, no. And you say, you know that it says in the Scripture, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Holy Spirit that's in you will go into his conscience that he had, that God created in his image. He created, and he gave every man a measure of faith. He'll go and say, he's right. The Holy Spirit will go over to him and say, he's right. And he'll be sitting there like, oh. And then he'll say, you know it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, that Holy Spirit's going to be going, that's true. That's true. So see, the Holy Spirit's what does all the convicting. And that's why it's important for especially a man of God to walk with the Lord daily and not just wait till Sunday or Saturday evening to go rushing around and pray, oh, God, help me. Now, I know there's times we get caught up as a pastor especially with people being sick in the hospitals and things. And see, there's again, if you look in the Scripture, it says, look out amongst you seven Spirit-filled men. Talks about, and it says, full of the Holy Ghost. And they found Stephen. And they found Philip, they found more. And see, that was the big deal in that time, is that the preacher could give his life to prayer and supplication in the ministry of preaching and the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that people would come to Christ, that saints would be exhorted, and all these things would take place and feed the sheep. And that's really what it's all about. So as we see Brother Darren, he's up here, you know, preaching, and we know what a good pastor that he is, that he runs to and fro and visits, and he does. But you know, really and truly, the deacon's place is to fulfill a lot of that. But the problem is that most people don't want to see the deacon's face. They want to see the pastor. So they got to call, well, it was him, but it wasn't the preacher. He wasn't here. They're not satisfied. If you were in the Spirit and walked in the Spirit, that wouldn't be your attitude. You'd be saying, go get them, preacher. Don't worry about me. I'm here on the battlefield. I'm wounded. The doctor's going to get me, the caretaker. You just keep fighting the battle and keep pressing forward and go toward the mark, because souls need to be saved. People need to be helped, because I'm saved and born again. I'm just wounded in the battle, and here I am. But God's going to take care of me. It says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. So there again, we get, over time, we've got a lot of things distorted, and you've got to agree with me the way that we live our lives. We're living too carnal, people. We really are. It's time that we woke up. It really is. Now, you may not like to hear this. Many people don't. The Holy Spirit goes to dealing with lost sinners. They don't like it either. And that's the thing. But it's the truth. And like I said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And if you want to have that happiness in your walk, and know in a time of trouble, when something comes upon you, whether it is cancer, whether it is a son or daughter that's going through turmoil, don't you want to know that you've been walking in the Spirit, to know that you don't have to run around and try to beg God and use him like a spare tire to run at him, but you could say, where it says, for all things work to good for those who love, you can say, well, God's in control. This is not brought on because of sin. This is not brought on because of the worldly life I'm living. And now that I'm getting rebuked and I'm getting chastened for this, because there is that finally comes. You can't just walk all the time like that. You can't walk in this carnal and in the world and expect to have happy things. To have happy things, you must do good things to in turn to get good things. You must walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. As we know that it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what, know not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which are God's. See, he owns us. He owns us. And he's able to do what he wants to do with us. He's God. And the thing is, you know that scripture where it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and it may glorify your Father in heaven. Now, if you're walking in the Spirit, nobody has to tell you, or they won't have to tell you what's going on, because it'll just be there. You won't have to be telling them, hey, look at me, look at me. They'll say, man, there's something about him. It just convicts me about my life. It'll convict the Christian that is carnal to step up to the plate and be more spiritual. It might convict some. Hey, when you say amen and you say praise the Lord, your neighbor sitting beside you might say, man, that rubbed off on me a little bit. I think I'll amen. And when we got a preacher that's up here preaching, whether it's me or whoever it is, if we got anybody in that preaches that old style way, the old time way, we need to back those men of God and get behind them, because there's only a little of a remnant left of that stuff. There's not many walking in the Spirit. There's not many looking to God for their messages. They're looking to the internet and pulling up messages on the internet, and they're looking under things, what they can do and not what God. I'll just be truthful with you. I'm ignorant and unlearned as they come. I don't care to admit it. It didn't take you long to be around me to see that. But the thing about me is, you know what? I believe the Word of God. And I believe God Almighty. And I know that Jesus Christ lives in me. And see, that's one thing I'll say about me. I may not know a lot, and I'm still learning. But I do know God, and he knows me. And when I bow down up there on that rock above the house, and I say, God, what do I need to preach? Because, God, I don't have a clue. I don't know what you'd want me to do. But the Holy Spirit in me knows. He knows everybody that was going to be in here. He knows every man, woman, and child that's born again are going to hell either way. And I don't know that, but he does. And see, I know him. And when I get down to business with God and say, God, the only reason that I won't do what you want me to do is because I don't know what it is. And that's the only reason I won't do nothing for God, I tell you. That's the only reason I won't do nothing for him, is because I sometimes don't know what it is. If he tells me to do something, I will do my best to go after that. I will. And I might die trying sometime, but I'll do my best. I've failed him many times. But as I tell you what I've started to do, and it'll help you if you'll do this. I've started getting up every morning as soon as my feet will even sometimes before they touch the ground. I say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you today. Holy Spirit, I yield myself as the same that if Jesus Christ was going to be in my boots today, I want to do what he would do around the people that I'll be around and the jobs that I want to conduct myself the way that he would conduct himself. Holy Spirit of God, please lead me. Please help me that I may be a help to somebody. I've been doing that now for about 8 months. And God has made a difference in my life through that one prayer, just a quick prayer. And a lot of times I'll say it at least 3 times a day. In between dinner, and other times I'll just, under my breath, I'll lean down and say that prayer. And he's using me greater and greater. I'm not bragging. I'm trying to help you. If you'll do that, it'll make a difference. Because each time you're around someone, if nothing else, what it does is it reminds you of what you prayed. When you start to do something in the flesh and you know in the Holy Spirit, you're like, oh yeah, I prayed that prayer. Man, I'd be a fool to turn that way after I'm praying. Because see, it says in the Scripture, Apostle Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He says, for it is the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation unto all that believe. Now, there's power in that gospel message. But there again, you have the Holy Ghost, the power of God living in you. Now, when you combine those two, things change. When you combine yourself that's got the Holy Spirit dwelled in you, and you start presenting that gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and and how that he came to seek and save that which is lost. There's an effect because you feel the Spirit. The power of God moves in, and sinners are convicted and born again. And until we start getting right with God, you won't see much fruit. You won't see much victory in this stuff. He won't be getting many souls. If you wonder, a lot of times, if you ever thought, and if I ask you the question, as a Christian, if I said, are you catching any fish? You think in your mind, are you catching any fish? Now you may say, oh, Brandon, it ain't up to me. You're exactly right. It's up to the Holy Spirit. But you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus is looking, God is looking for a man. When I say man, I mean the woman and the man. He's looking for a man because that's how his job's done today. It's through men, through us Christians. That's how. And if we don't live Spirit-filled, you may say, well, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. I'm not affecting nobody. Oh, yeah, you are. You're affecting a lot by not living the Spirit-filled life and letting the Lord possess you, because that's when things change. That's when sinners come to Christ. That's when a dead grace, the same power that resurrected Christ Jesus out of that tomb is the same power that liveth in you. And that's what we need, is for Christ and that power to resurrect a bunch of dead Christians and a bunch of dead places. Now, I'm not calling Bethel dead, but I will say this. It wouldn't take much and we wouldn't be. A little pride, a little turning our back, a little just keep it going down the world's path, it wouldn't be much and we would be. And so I do see a lot of places, since the Lord's let me go preach, that are dead. And I mean, I'm just being serious. When I say dead, just ain't nothing. It's just nothing, just nothing. It's a form of religion, a form of godliness, but then to deny the power thereof, it's just dead religion. But there again, that comes by being powerless. And that comes by the remnant that is left here. There's a remnant. God has a remnant. And I tell you, it don't take many to turn the world upside down. Because God started out, what was it, about 5,000 Wendell Plum down to the, ended up being 11 or so, and then down even further to 3. So see, it don't take many. So don't get downtrodden and don't get discouraged, because if you'll let God have his way in your life, there's no telling what you can see and do for God. The smallest person to the oldest person, the youngest person, if you'll just turn your life over and be that living sacrifice, I'm telling you, it'll make a difference, because we're going to leave out of here, and it could be tonight. And I said it in the last message, but it's on my mind a lot. Is it ain't going to matter what you did for you and just for one. It's going to matter what you did for Jesus that'll stand through that fiery time when he goes and our works are tried by fire. It comes out, and it's either going to be a heap pile of ashes, or we're going to have some precious stones and jewels there to lay at his feet. And see, that's the key, is we are sheep. We are fed here. I will say this at Bethel in closing. Here at Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, I've been a member. I've been here 5 years. I have been called to preach out of this church. I was called to be a deacon out of this church. But I will say this. This is a place that we get fed. Our pastor, he's a good shepherd. He feeds the sheep. But in that saying, in feeding the sheep, let me tell you, it's being a good church and a good spiritual place and a good place to get fed spiritually. We're walking dangerously when we don't do nothing with it. Because God will remove it. He'll make you get hungry if he has to. He'll make you start thirsting and hungering after this stuff. He'll remove it. Because, see, it says in the Scripture, to whom much is given, much is required. Now, I consider Bethel a beacon on a hill, a spiritual lighthouse. But if God was to remove that light, what would we be? And, see, we got to be careful and not slump down in our seats and go to sleep in the devil's crib. Because he will hate. This, a church like this is on his target list, I guarantee you. Where people's been saved, where we have the Holy Ghost move, and we get up and praise God and testify, the devil hates any of that stuff. That's the he hates it, anything praising God. So see, we've got to be on our toes and to resist the devil and be able to walk in and put that armor of God. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the air. Then we must have Jesus and be armored up in the armor of God. And that's the same as walking in the Spirit. When I got saved, I didn't know nothing about spirit-filled life. I was 12 years old. But now it's high time that we started walking in the Spirit. because anybody that's been here for any length of time has been fed spiritual food. And like I said, to whom much is given, much is required of you, to take what you get in here out there, around the workplace and around the other place, whatever you're at, the marketplace, the workplace, wherever you go, we ought to be a working for our Master. It says in the Scripture that it come night when no man can work. Now there's a coming a night for everybody in here. There's coming a time that I'll preach my last sermon, Tony. Now, there'll be a time when Brother Darren will preach his last message. There'll be a time I'll witness to my last individual. There'll be a time that you'll walk your last steps up to these church steps or up here or anywhere. There's going to come time, and then for a lot of people, it might be a drawing up in the evening right now. And I tell you, the Lord could come at any moment, and it could be night really quick. So see, we must work while it is day. It comes night when no man can work. We got to be about the Father's business. It's high time that we got with it, because we've been fed now, and we need to run along like good little children and go out and work for the Lord. Because to just take all this stuff that you've been fed herein and the knowledge and to retain it, it'd be like the lepers, the four lepers that went out and found all the bread, and if they had never came back and shared it, and people starving to death. So what it is, we're like a food bank spiritually. We've got all this food that we've been given and stacked up, but we've got people just right out there starving and going to hell. We need to start taking the bread out here, outside. It's time that we started living in the Spirit. Quit being so fleshly and quit being so selfish in your walk and thinking, I want to do this. I want to go on vacation over here. I want to do that. You go on vacation, nothing wrong. You do. Go ahead. But don't get wrapped up and that's all you do is sit around day after day looking and planning on a vacation. You better be planning about your trip to heaven. You better be making your reservation up there and quit worrying about a condo. You better be making your reservations on where you're going to be sitting at the Master's table and where you're going to be sitting at. And that's the main thing, because we're all, if you're saved, you're going to face Him face to face at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for every deed done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And that's it. We're going to be facing Him. And just remember that each day as you walk, you think, I'll be seeing you for too long, Jesus. And as you lay your head down at night to go to bed, you know, it says that I believe God has a book of remembrance. That's how He knows what rewards to do. He's a just God. He'll reward everyone justly. And as you lay your head down at night, if you'll just look and remember and think, God, what did you write down in the book today for me? What did I do today, God? What did you record down for me today? And keep that in remembrance. And yes, it's about the duty. But as you start doing your duty, just like praying when you don't feel like praying. Sometimes I don't feel like a bit more praying than nothing. I feel just, but I'm telling you, when you get down on your knees and you begin to pray, there's times you feel that God's way off yonder. He's usually the closest right there. Just testing, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do in 2013 when you've got all these things to put before me? Are you going to walk this way and sell me out, or are you going to walk with me and forget about all this stuff and let it be behind you? Because if you'll start giving it to Him, the things you used to think you couldn't live without, they'll be in your way. You'll say, how in the world did I ever do that? And it won't be hard, because Jesus will take you. Just like the sinner that gets saved, they say, I got to give up my drinking. No, you'll be tickled to death. You'll look back and say, Lord, I can't believe I lived that way. It's going to be joy and peace. And that song that we sing all the time, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him in you, and He shall direct thy paths. And He'll never direct you wrong. And He'll never contradict one thing in the Bible. If it's going against this, it's not of the Spirit. It's of the flesh or of Satan, one or the other. So, folks, it's high time that we did. We start living in the Spirit life. And start denying self. And let the Spirit have His way with us. Tell you what, Brother Adam. If you don't care, find that song and let's sing that in closing. And if you, as we close out and sing that song, trust and obey. What page? I don't know exactly what it is. But if you've got a need, or if you see yourself knowing that you've been living in the flesh incarnate, and we all have, surely to goodness we all have seen, and you want to live that spirit-filled life, knowing that that's what's going to make a difference, and that's where the blessings are going to come from. And when we stand face to face with Him, then we'll know that He'll say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So as we sing, what number is it? 157, we'll sing that. If you feel the need to come to the altar, you come down tonight. The altar is open as the invitation is given. I got to thinking about when it said to be not drunk with wine. But you know, being drunk is someone, you see them as they're drunk, they're under the influence. Their mind's altered and they'll do things that they wouldn't normally do. Like the old saying, some people that gets drunk, I've heard them say they're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Some want to fight and some want to do this and that, and they get nerves of steel. And see, I've never been drunk, I'll be honest, but I was in the hospital with kidney stones and they put morphine and that Demerol in me. And I was under the influence. And I began to witness to everybody coming and going in that place. But if you'll be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you'll do things you would have never done in the flesh. You'll have a boldness that you never had. That's how you go out and talk to people. You say, I can't. You're right, you can't. But He can. And you got to give your life to Him and yield it to Him. Because that's where all the things come, is out of the power of God. That's when things are accomplished. Anybody got a word in their heart as we dismiss? Thank you all for coming out. Appreciate you and love you. And just continue to pray that God would send a revival that we really need, not just here, but across our nation. And He'd be merciful to us because we've turned our back on Him.